Molly and Hall, live and local. Chicago Sports Talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Dave Wannstedt, Bears head coach for 6 years.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Super Bowl champion.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
Great mustache.
Some say it's a symptom of manliness. Others a cause, the mustache.
Wani, hanging out with Molly and Haw.
Open up the door, it's Dave.
Who?
Dave, D-A-V-E.
Dustin, we're not going to waste airtime on that, okay? Next question.
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank
next
you
very question.
Much.
Dave Wannstedt.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. Always a joy to talk to Coach Wannstedt. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline. Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Morning, Dave.
I'm doing good, fellas. In fact, I am sitting here and I'm looking at my cup of coffee and I'm just trying to decide if it's half full or half empty, okay? And Molly, you've been around me since the early 90s, and my cup is half full. It truly is. And that's
always
how I'm that's how I am looking at this season. And, you get to this point in December, they got a bye week. The whole issue now is how are we going to get into the playoffs? And this is kind of the time of year. Thanksgiving is when, 1st of December is when playoffs conversation really means something and it starts. And I'm looking at the Bears schedule right now as we're talking. And I really think that, I don't know. I mean, I look at them as still getting in. It could come down to a tiebreaker situation. I hope not. But I still think there's real hope for this team to win 9 games. I think that's what it's going to take. I think you're going to have to win 9 and get in as a wild card. Keep in mind for our listeners, there's an extra team added. Usually it's 6. This year they're taking 7 teams. So, it's probably going to be Green Bay. Let's assume now with New Orleans having a few injuries that Tampa wins that division, but New Orleans still goes and they got the Bears on a tiebreaker. Giants or Eagles, whoever wins that division, and maybe, I don't know, Arizona, the Rams, whoever. But that's 5 teams. So the Bears are going to be in the hunt. If Arizona wins it, they're going to be in the hunt with the Rams and Seattle and, outside chance of the Vikings, but I don't see that happening.
Dave, your cup has always been half full. You've always looked at things through.
Did I do a good job there? Did I do a good job of avoiding that Monday night game?
half full of what are you drinking?
What am I drinking here? I'm drinking a little just straight coffee. Come on, Terry. Okay, what would you want me to say? Terry Bradshaw bourbon at 7 in the morning? Come on,
sounds like it. No. You got the Bears winning 4, going 4-2.
Well, guys, they're gonna beat. Let's go through it real quick. They should beat the Lions, Texans, and Jags. That's 3, right? And now you got to split with the Packers. Or you're going to have to beat the Vikings. I mean, it's not going to be easy, but, they can do it.
My cup has always been half full of it, but that's a different story. And, Dave, I think that when I look at that schedule, I think you're right. I think that there's, the Packers are the only winning team left. They could beat the Vikings. It's not impossible. But when you see how broken they are, and how bad that offense is. Are you when you make those judgments? I mean, listen, Jacksonville gave the Packers a game. They looked pretty good in that game. I think Houston doesn't show any signs of life. Detroit, the Bears barely beat them. I'm just saying it is difficult to sit
right
here and think of the good things when you see how bad the offense has been. And are you making that prediction based on the idea that you'll get offensive linemen back, that you'll get some form of continuity, that you will get the running back, whatever it is, something returns that changes their fortune?
Yeah, maybe it's the bye week. I don't know. I mean, really, it's, maybe it's Mitch Trubisky. I'm going to go back to him. I mean, is he going to be the starter the next game? I mean, I don't know. He might be. So, I really, let's talk about the game for a minute. I really was, I didn't see much different guys on offense. You know, I know they made the change with offensive coordinators, but the play calling looked about the same to me. And that was disappointing. It truly was. I mean, the Bears right now, they have thrown the ball more than any team in the National Football League. They have more pass plays. And they're like third average per game. And, you know, I mean, that anybody that thinks that we're trying to be balanced or the direction we've gone from the first couple of weeks, I mean, you're throwing more pass. And the Bears have been in close games. I mean, they have overtime games, you know, against the Saints. So when you're in close games and you're leading the league in passing, oh boy, that's a philosophy thing. It really is. There's no way to hide from that.
Especially when you're last in the NFC in scoring and you're one of the worst offenses in the league. And I just look at that offensive line and I think it all starts there, Dave. We've talked about that a lot. You've got two quarterbacks now, whether you go to Mitch or stay with Foles, both are somewhat injured or banged up. I suppose you could ask your defense to do a little bit more. You could ask your special teams. But that formula only works if your offense does the minimal, and they're not doing the minimal at this point, whoever's calling the plays. I just wonder, how do you pivot here if you're Matt Nagy? Do you change your style? Do you change your approach? Do you change anything in this off week? What can you change?
Yeah, well, I do think that, you know, I heard Matt after the game and he talked about, and I really like him talking to the players and getting their opinions. Well, you're opening a can of worms there. You're going to get, how many players are there? 53. You're going to get 53 different opinions on what needs to be done. So you got to be careful there. But I don't know. I come back to throwing the ball, and we know about the offensive line. Tampa, did you see what Tom Brady said after the game? He says, when we have two tight ends, sometimes three tight ends in the game, I feel more confident throwing the ball and I feel more confident with my protection. And I look at this thing and I go back to, what's his name? Rawl, the one running back, right? What's his first name?
Ryan Nall.
Ryan Nall. You know, he was in the game. And when he came in the game, it was a third. And I says, okay, good. They're bringing him in for protection. I like that mentality. What does he do? As soon as the ball snapped, he releases into the flat. You know, so I think there's just a mentality. If you're the offensive line coach, boy, this is a tough offense. It truly is, because they're not giving you much help. They truly aren't.
This is a rude question, Dave, and I know that you've seen some rough things in your time, especially with some of the quarterback issues you had here in Chicago. But have you ever seen an offense look worse than the Bears did on Monday Night Football? And I'm not joking about that. They looked absolutely inept after the first drive of the series of the game.
Yeah, they did, and they were. I think they got more yards out of their kicking game than they did out of their offense rushing the ball. You know, I mean, that's a classic. But, it was disappointing. And I was all excited. And I'm sure the defense was excited when they find out. And even though they're not involved in who's calling the plays, hey, those guys are getting paid a lot of money. And a lot of these guys have more money than they'll ever spend in their lifetime. And everyone's getting paid. And they're all professionals, and they sit in that locker room. I guarantee you, Khalil Mack and some of these guys, and there's Danny Trevathan that have been there, and they're saying, hey, guys, you know, I'm playing this game. Yes, the money's part of it, but at the end of the day, I'm trying to get a ring. And, you know, the Bears defense is playing at a high, high level. And going into this game, I made this statement before the game. You know, the Vikings last year were a top five defense. This year, they're a bottom five defense coming into last week's game. And all of a sudden, they put a performance like that. So is it, did their defense get better, or did our offense get worse? That's a scary thought right there.
Dave, as a head coach, obviously part of the job involves setting a tone. And setting a tone involves both your private interactions with your players, but also the public aspect. And when you see Matt Nagy, who's a very likable guy, and I respect him as the Bears head coach, but when he's talking about things, he's providing the sort of public level of acceptance, and he's complimenting the post game where defensive players address the team, and he's talking about how persistence over resistance, and he's saying all the right things. As a head coach, at some point, do you just have to take that glass that's either half full or half empty and throw it against a locker room wall? Or is there value in a tirade? Is there value in a tantrum or saying and sending the message that you are fed up as the fan base and you're not going to take it anymore?
Yeah. Oh, I've busted blackboards and upset it. Gatorade tables. I'm Molly. Seen some of them. Oh yeah, I've done that. And you know, you can't do it all the time. You pick and choose, but I've never picked up an entire laundry cart. I was told when I got the story, and I was getting stories from Mike Ditka, who's the best ever. Mike and I, you know, are good friends. They said he came into the game at halftime one time. And somebody had given up two sacks, and I will not say the player's name. And Mike was so irate, so out of control, that he picked up the whole laundry cart, which, I don't know, it might weigh 200 pounds. And he had it on his shoulder, and he walked over to the player, and he just threw it against his locker. I mean, I've never gone to that extreme, but, you know, there is a place for that. You got to pick and choose. But you got to be yourself, too. And I think at the end of the day, that's not Matt Nagy's personality. You'd like to have some assistance now, you know, that, hey, we got to get the defense going, or we got to get that offensive line fired up, guys. And you can say it as a head coach. And the guy I had here was Clarence Brooks. God bless his soul. He was kind of my guy here and my guy at the Dolphins. He was my D-line coach. And whenever things were shaky, you know, and we weren't doing, I say, hey, Clarence, we got to shake it up a little bit. And he'd go in. And, you know, so if you're not going to do it yourself, you got to kind of have somebody to get their attention a little bit. And it's tough. You know, the whole thing is confidence, too. You know, right now, does the team have confidence in Nick Foles? Probably not, unfortunately. Do they have confidence in Mitch? I don't know. You know, so when your team doesn't have confidence in your quarterback, as great a kid as he is, it's tough to overcome that. You got to take the pressure off of him, and that comes back to running the ball. And then your feature running back is a wide receiver, Patterson. I mean, that's another head scratcher. But go ahead.
I remember one time you guys were playing at Arizona, and it did not end well. And we were waiting for you to come out, and we could hear clear as day you screaming at the team. And my lead to the story was something like, Dave Wannstedt gave his team a lesson in Russian history after the game. He could clearly be heard screaming the word Bolshevik repeatedly.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Absolutely. You know, but that was probably a little bit more of my personality. But I don't know. I mean, right now, during the bye week, they're going to look at the self-scout. Here's what they're going to do for our listeners. They're going to look at the self-scout and try to find something that was good. Bill Lazor, the offensive coordinator, you know, hopefully he can bring something to the table. And Matt's, you know, they're all in there together trying to come up with something. And just, if I was the head coach, your goals change every week. You know, you can change those things. You have to change those things to keep your players motivated. And right now, the goal is playoffs. Guys, we've got to win enough games to get in the playoffs. Hey, we're relevant. We're right here. It's Thanksgiving time, and we are in the conversation. And when you get to that point, now it's all matter what you do in December. And so they're in position. They've just got to find a way to get it done.
All right, we're going to hold on to Coach Wannstedt. We'll ask him a couple more on the Bears. Want to get to some college football, some big games in the Big Ten this week, and we got to get Dave's opinion of that. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
Dave Wannstedt hanging out with Mully and Haw.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score. Always a delight to have Coach Wannstedt with us. And, of course, he's on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline. And, Dave, just to clarify, when we talk about the best quarterback on the Bears roster, it's not necessarily about the guy that can run the system the best if you get to a point where you can't block. And maybe Trubisky's ability to be on the move, maybe that adds something that you haven't seen. Does it just depend on where they are with their offensive line? If all quarterbacks are healthy and the offensive line is as close to full strength as we've seen it. Do you stick with Nick Foles and try to run your scheme? Do you shift to Mitch and try to run the ball, run the scheme differently? I don't know that they can get away from that scheme.
If you stay with the scheme, my opinion is Mitch gives you a chance to make more plays. And he's proven that. I mean, he was averaging like 30 yards a game rushing with his scrambles, before he was benched. And they were only averaging 85 or 90 yards as a team at that point. That was early in the year. So I think Mitch gives you a chance under these circumstances to make some plays on his own. And Foles is turning the ball over. So, you know, and let me just end it here, because I was thinking about this during the break, and I don't want our listeners to think that it's not a pile on Matt Nagy or the offense. The reality is what it is. But I will say this and sum it up this way. When I first got the Bears job, Bill Parcells grabbed me at the combine. He says, "Who are you going to hire as your offensive coordinator?" And I said, "Well," and I told him a couple of names. I ended up hiring Ron Turner, as you know. And he said, "Well, let me tell you something. When you talk to all these offensive coordinator guys, they're all going to tell you that they believe in the running game as being important. Very few of them really do, Dave. So you make sure that you get somebody that believes and understands how important the running game is." And I think where we're at right now as the Bears, and I'll end it on this, is that Matt just, it's not in his DNA. And that's, and the guys he surrounded himself are the same mentality. That's what we're dealing with right now, folks. And I don't see how it's going to change, you know, without getting better players instantly.
Can't argue with that, Dave. Good stuff. You know, you have been around the Chicago scene for a long time. And so I wonder, you know, you're still a man about town. You ever cross paths with Theo Epstein? Obviously impossible to ignore the big story in town yesterday. But my sense is you probably have encountered Theo. And what were your thoughts about watching him walk away?
Yeah, you know what? I was on a radio show with him a couple years ago. I think it was with you guys. And because I'm a big Cubs fan. And yes, you know, obviously the guy's incredible, has done an incredible job. There's usually when situations like this happen, there's more to the story than what any of us are privy to. I mean, Theo's going to bounce back. After next year, he'll probably take a year off. And he's already, I mean, guys like that in our business, let's be real. Everybody's talking to everybody. Theo has a plan. He's given his all to Chicagoland and all to the Cubs. They should be grateful for that. But he's got a plan in the back of his mind where he wants to go. Whether it has anything to do with the Cubs organization from top to bottom, I do not know that. You know, but he has a reason. He's got a plan. This is not just burnout. I promise you that.
Dave, we will be learning a lot in college football in the Big Ten this week. You've got, you know, and I last I checked, Bet Rivers, I think Ohio State's more than a 20-point favorite, believe it or not, at home to Indiana. But those are unbeaten teams. That's an interesting game, and we'll determine where we're at with the Big Ten East. The Big Ten West has Wisconsin at Northwestern, and I don't believe they post any kind of local team bets at Bet Rivers, but I know that it was about eight points or so Wisconsin favored by. Can the Cats pull off that win, and can they win the Big Ten West, and what are you expecting with these two games?
Yeah, absolutely, and you know, the defenses right now in the Big Ten, if you look at them, I mean, Northwestern's winning right now for two reasons. One, they've got one of the best defenses in the conference, arguably maybe the best defense. They are playing great defense. And their quarterback, the transfer, Peyton Ramsey, he's not putting them in bad position. When he gets opportunities, you know, he's converting. They're running the ball. They're being balanced. They've got a nice team. And on the other side, Wisconsin, what's the strength of their team right now? You know, they lose their top running back last year, Jonathan Taylor. Their quarterback got hurt in training camp, and they're playing with a young kid that's never really started before. Their defense is carrying them. So I look for this to be a real low-scoring game. But Northwestern, I mean, their quarterback has a lot more experience. I think their defense is as good as Wisconsin's. I think it's a toss-up game. I really do. I like Northwestern's opportunities here. I really do.
Which team in the Big Ten, Dave, has surprised you more? Northwestern getting off to this unbeaten start and the defense really coming to play each and every week, or Indiana, top 10 team? They might get it handed to them this week, but Tom Allen has done a terrific job there.
Yeah, probably Indiana, because they I think they really have never been in this position before. You know, Northwestern has won the West in the Big Ten, and Fitz has done a great job. So everybody says, oh, yeah, Fitz is doing a great job. But I think Tom Herman, I mean, he, you know, in his personality, I mean, he might be the biggest personality right now in the Big Ten. I mean, people, you know, everyone's showing his post game and his sideline and everything that he does emotionally. I mean, it's been amazing, and they've got better players. I mean, you see guys in Indiana making one hand catches. You see them coming up with big interceptions, sacks. So they've secretly got more talent than what anybody really wants to give them credit for. Do I think they'll beat Ohio State? No, they're not Ohio State, but they have done a fantastic job. It should be a heck of a game. It should be.
Dave, it's fun to see this stuff going on in college football. Do you have any clarity on who the best team in the land is and how this is going to eventually play out?
Well, you know, you got to give Notre Dame credit for beating Clemson, but Trevor Lawrence, in my opinion, is the best player in college football, and you know, he didn't play in the game. So I still like Clemson. You know, Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State would be my top three. And then probably maybe Notre Dame, maybe Florida. You know, if I'll tell you what, I was watching that Oregon game this weekend, guys, and I know no one sees them because they're out west, but Oregon's got a heck of a football team, and they got a lot of talent. So Oregon could go undefeated. USC could go undefeated. So they would be playing in the Pac-12 championship game. And if you have an undefeated Pac-12 team that won their conference, it's going to be tough for the committee to say, no, we're going to take two teams from the SEC or someone else, I think, as over a Pac-12 conference champ.
Dave, is it an advantage or disadvantage that Notre Dame likely will end up playing many more games, several more games, than other teams that are in contention for that playoff spot and in the playoffs?
It should be an advantage for Notre Dame, because Notre Dame's played good teams and they've won. So I would be arguing that point, but the point that I just made about an undefeated Pac-12, I'll tell you what, Notre Dame, the two best teams, are going to go and play off. So let's assume it's Clemson and Notre Dame in the ACC championship. And Trevor Lawrence plays, and let's assume that Clemson wins. So now you've got Clemson as the conference champ. You got USC or Oregon as a conference champ. You got Alabama. You got Ohio State. That's where I think Notre Dame could get squeezed, because they did not win the conference.
Great stuff as always, Dave. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Dave.
Okay, guys. Good talking to you. Have a good week.
Yeah, enjoy the bye, if indeed. Is that? I mean, do we enjoy the bye? I mean, at this point,
tell me you're not gonna enjoy not watching that horrendous offense this weekend, where we can have peace in our lives, maybe for a Sunday or a Monday.
Peace in our time. Yeah, I like it. Yeah, should make that a thing. I think you're on to
contrarily
something.
Though, this will not bring anybody peace. Leonard Floyd named NFC Defensive Player of the Week.
I want to talk about that a little bit if we can at some point. I want to talk about Leonard Floyd, because I think there's a misconception as to what's going on with the Bears pass rush and all that. I think he's an important name to remember in it. But we are going to give away a drink maker by Keurig. This is an extraordinary device, and we're going to give one away. It is one of the greatest holiday gifts. It's one of the greatest gifts. It's my gift for the holiday, and it's their gift to you this week. We're giving away one a day, so stay tuned. We'll tell you how very shortly.
Fourth pick. Bulls are on the clock, Casey Johnson. And the pick is in, and the name will say what?
Patrick Williams.
Really?
Letting that sit there for a little bit. and it's like, I've been, to show you how much like this is fluid and this changes, I was, uh, I emailed my mock draft pick to the Los Angeles Times this morning, and it was Tyrese Haliburton. So I'm going off my latest intel, and you know, see, I base this on what I hear and the people I talk to, not what I think they're going to do. So just some more people I've talked to today, and like you said, we're taping this on Monday. There's just so much buzz out there linking to the Patrick Williams. He's obviously a young, intriguing talent, only 19, one of the youngest players in the draft, if not the youngest player. Athlete, two-way player, explosive, multi-positional defender, long. He can play, you know, he's got like a long 6'11 wingspan, a lot of length, a lot of athleticism. I just think he fits with the roster that they're trying to build.
Mully at Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. That's our guy, Casey Johnson, and he was on the Bulls Talk podcast, NBC Sports Chicago, and fascinating to hear what his sources are telling him. And, David, I think that as we move ever closer to where this thing is at with the draft tonight, we should remind everyone that we're going to have Casey on tomorrow at 7. AK will join us. Arturis Karnišovas will join us tomorrow at 8 a.m. to talk about his first pick as the general manager of the Chicago Bulls, the basketball decision maker, if you will. Mark Eversley, I guess, technically is the GM, but you know what I mean. Should be fun. Should be a good time. And looking forward to what they do tonight. There are rumors out there as we speak that they are talking about trading up, that they apparently have a deal. Do we call it a deal in place? They have interest in perhaps being able to trade with the Golden State Warriors. They would trade for the, they would give up the number four pick and Wendell Carter in this rumor to get the number two pick in the draft.
That's from The Ringer. That's a report out this morning. There probably will be others out today. We've read a lot of rumors in the last day or so, including one where they inquired about the availability of Kemba Walker from the Celtics, which would give them, you know, that point guard, that scoring guard that maybe they seek. We don't know exactly what they seek. Tonight is what we're going to learn about Arturis Karnišovas, his first draft leading the Bulls. A lot of excitement. I for one, just to start there, I don't like that idea of giving up Wendell Carter to move up two spots to draft LaMelo Ball. That's on the surface. I'd have to hear it explained if it's more than that. If the Bulls stay at four, we heard Casey Johnson, I think, on the podcast for NBC Sports Chicago, talk about Patrick Williams, a guy with 6'8 wing with a 6'11 wingspan, athletic, multiple position defender, position less on a roster that you think that's the way it's going to be built. There's also been rumors about moving down or maybe staying at four and drafting Tyrese Haliburton or maybe Killian Hayes, a lefty from France. Denny Avdija is going to be a guy that I think is also going to draw a lot of interest. He's 6'9", the Israeli MVP, and I think he does a lot of things really well, maybe not one outstanding. He's a bad free throw shooter, which gives you some pause. But if I were to pick one guy whose name consistently has come up since, you know, we started talking about the draft, that would be the guy that I think would be there if they're still at four to pick.
Jose Altuve.
But you really don't know, Mully.
I don't know that they, look, I'm willing to give up whatever you have to give up if you believe that the guy that you can get is as good as some people want to say that LaMelo Ball is. And I find that really intriguing. I mean, here's a guy, I kind of like the story in terms of, you know, he never really went to high school, right? He did for a little bit, but then he went and played professionally. He is a guy that has played both in Lithuania as a really young kid and in Australia after finishing out his high school season. So I think that his journey makes it fascinating to think about what kind of player he might be and how, I mean, he's played against grown men, for God's sake, in Lithuania. So it's difficult to look at that and not feel like maybe that's something unique to him and his family that not a lot of people can kind of brag about. I mean, I don't know.
Sure.
I don't know anybody that's been through that kind of thing.
Absolutely. Look, my initial reaction to that report is not so much about LaMelo Ball, who, if you've identified him as a special player and you have conviction in that, I think you have to respect AK until we have reason not to, right? So you want to give him the benefit of the doubt and keep an open mind. My first reaction, though, was here you are, if you're taking over a roster and leading a team that has been, you know, where the Bulls have been the last several years, you lack assets. You need talent. And I think that Wendell Carter Jr. is an asset. He's a talent. He's a young player who we have seen have injury issues. We've had that have maybe stunted his growth and potential. But I think giving up on him right now would be premature. I think he's going to end up being a very serviceable, above-average NBA player. Now, does that, you know, match his draft status? I don't know that it will, but I guess my reaction would be to, are you in a position to give up on assets as quickly as that would be giving up on one, a young player on a roster that lacks talent? I don't know. Maybe LaMelo Ball is worth it. Maybe he would make this conversation seem silly in 5 years. But right now, that would be just my first reaction.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably right, but I just think that when you're talking about a kid that has had that kind of a background and has been sort of groomed to be the next in his family that, you know, is going to be a special player. I'm kind of pumped up about the Bulls getting a guy like that. I think special is important in this, for this particular team. They need stars. And if he can actually, you know, the guy scored 92 points in a high school game. Now, I get it. Social distancing is a defensive measure. But then I heard one of his coaches say he was just bored. He was bored out of his mind in high school because he could do whatever he wanted to do whenever he wanted to do it. So he was willing to give up some points to get the ball back so he could score some more. I don't know. I mean, these guys are, there's a lot of hype with his father and all the rest of it. But, you know, if that's the guy they deem is the man, then I'm all for it. I want to see it. I'm trusting in AK. That, let's put it that way.
Not a draft that's considered to have deep with star potential necessarily. James Wiseman, Anthony Edwards, and LaMelo Ball considered to be the consensus top three picks. So the Bulls would have to get in a position moving up to get one of those guys. If it's Ball, you don't hear them linked with the other two as much. Maybe there has been one story a week or so ago linking them to Anthony Edwards. You have seen them, you know, mentioned with Evdia, with Patrick Williams, with, you know, Halliburton, and with Killian Hayes. And you wonder, Mully, if they are linked to all of those guys, if they don't make the big trade to move up to get Ball, are they in a position where they could move back and still get a player, one of those four, who has been more, you know, in terms of the mock drafts, projected to go near the back end of the top 10, more closer than the front? And if you do that, would you get an asset to add to a roster? Because I think, you know, depending on, are they going to take the big swing and go for LaMelo Ball, or are they going to try to accumulate assets on a roster that needs them? I think that is sort of the either-or heading into tonight.
Yeah, again, there has been nothing but rumors about different players and different ideas and all the rest of it. And this thing with Golden State is a rumor. It was part of another rumor not that long ago. I mean, you know, it's the NBA draft. There are nothing but all sorts of – it's just a lot of conjecture and a lot of people throwing stuff at the wall at this point, and we'll see how that plays out. But I want to get on with it. You know, I want to see different from the Bulls. And, you know, what does that mean? Does that mean just strictly different, a different player as opposed to somebody you thought might be a decent player but hasn't worked out and has had injury issues? I just want different. I just want to see something different. I want to see progress.
Yeah, it definitely you see the mix likely to change, and whether that's Wendell Carter being on the move or Zach LaVine, I don't know that I've seen many rumors involving him. But, you know, this is something that open mind, because you got a fresh set of eyes and a new perspective looking at the mix. All sorts of rumors. This is a league that has not been able to make a trade up until, you know, 48 hours ago, and then the lid was off. And now you're seeing all the rumors. Gordon Hayward, you see him possibly on the move to the Hawks. There's Kemba Walker being rumored. You see all sorts of different kind of names, big names. Russell Westbrook still there. James Harden wanting to go to the Nets to engineer that deal. Going to be an active night for NBA fans, and I think a lot of people looking forward to see how it affects the Bulls, because we don't know much about AK. We don't know much about Eversley, and we know about Billy Donovan, but he's not making the final call tonight, even though he'll be involved. I don't think this is not his night. This is it. This is Arturis Karnišovas' night.
No doubt about it. And it's not our time. It's your time. You have an opportunity right now. We're giving away the gift of the year, my gift of the year, the DrinkWorks Home Bar by Keurig. We're giving one away each day this week. And right now, right at this minute, are you ready, Kevin? Everybody, prepare yourself. Now's the time.
Am I eligible?
No, but I want you to answer the phone for those who are eligible. I just want to make sure you're ready to roll with
that's
this.
Less that's fun for me.
Yeah, but you're not eligible. But you can come over to my backyard, especially if it gets like extremely cold in the winter. Stand at a distance, and I will bring you a Manhattan. How's that
sound? Don't threaten me with a good time.
Just the one. Now get out. Right now, be the sixth caller to the Scores contest line. 312-540-0670. 312-540-0670. And you will win the DrinkWorks Home Bar by Keurig. The DrinkWorks Home Bar by Keurig is the gift of the year and the perfect way to set any holiday vibe. Good luck to all. We're going to bring in Dan Bernstein next. It's Mully and Hodge. It's Layla. I'm sorry. It's Wednesday. My God. It's a Layla Wednesday. So that's more exciting news. And we'll do that next. Mully and Haw on the Score.